I'm not trying to be controversial, and neither was Paul when he penned this. Amen? This happens to be our text. We have to explain our text. So I'm not elevating this sin above any other sin, okay? Sin is sin in the eyes of God, and God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. On Love Never Fails today, we continue Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of Romans. Today's message is titled, When God Gives Up. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. We're in Romans. We're doing our series through the book of Romans this morning. I have a very, very important word to you today. And I have prayed over this, and I know that when I'm through, some people are going to send me maybe some rash emails, but that's okay. Amen. We always want to be obedient to the word of God. Before us in our text this morning, it has been called the most terrible passage in all of the Bible. I certainly agree with that, but let me remind you before we start with these terrible passages that are in the Word of God, that the theme of Romans is what? The gospel. Praise God, three of you remember. The gospel, say that with me, the gospel. It's the good news. It's all about the whole theme of Romans is to tell us that Jesus is our Lord and there's a way out of our sin, a way out of the wrath of God. Amen? And when believed, we not only become new creations in Christ, but the beautiful, wonderful, spotless, sinless record of our Savior is then imputed into our account just as if we had never sinned. Now, we've learned from last week that man is without excuse, that God has made it plain that there is a supreme being. They've done so by, in Romans 2:15, remember, written in their hearts and in their consciences. Verse 19 tells us that God has made it plain. They know that there is a God. They may not know who he is, but God has made it plain to them that there is a supreme being. And he's also done so not only with a revelation within man, but also a revelation without meaning creation, looking at all that God has done. And every culture since Adam until this very moment, they've looked and they've tried to find an answer to their dilemma. And they know that they have some conception that there is a God, even though they may not know who he is. And the reason that every person from Adam, even to today, is seeking an answer, is there a God? What does life really mean? It's because, like it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, that God has placed eternity in the hearts of every person that has ever been born. There's a divine guest that lives in our heart that tells us we know there's more than this. We know that death cannot be the answer, that this little short time that we live here can't be the reason. That's not all of it. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, I want to talk to you this morning about what does it mean when God gives up on man, when God gives up on a people, a society, or a nation. Let's begin this morning, and let's go ahead and read verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all wickedness, all ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them," meaning made evident by God to them, "for God has revealed it to them," God has shown it to them, "for since creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are," what? "Without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. They became futile or empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened," beginning in verse 22, "and professing to be wise," about God, about creation, about that inner witness that they have. It says, they became what? fools. Literally, you learned last Sunday, morons. And not only that, and they changed, or literally exchanged, if you will, or changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. What an insult to God. They traded the glory of God for a block of wood or an animal, a bug or whatnot. So whenever man, in whatever society, in whatever generation, the moment that they stop the worship and the seeking of Almighty God, they digress. They first of all start worshiping self, and then they move slowly down the ladder, and they start making gods less than themselves, and they look all of a sudden to birds and the creeping things and reptiles and bugs and so forth. Now listen carefully. What happens when a person, what happens when a people, what happens when a nation began to worship the creature instead of the creator? Look at verse 24. God also gave them up. Look at verse 26. God gave them up. Look at verse 28. God gave them over. The New Living Translation says, God abandoned them. Loved one, those three verses, and each time we're going to study that this morning, man goes down lower and lower and lower, further away from God and deeper into the horrible wickedness of their own heart. Now let's begin when God gives up this morning in verse 24. Therefore, because of the verses that I just read, 18 through 23, therefore, God also, here it is, gave them up to uncleanness in the lust or the passionate cravings of their what? Hearts. Look at the result. To dishonor their bodies among themselves. Whenever a people, whenever a nation suppresses the truth and wickedness, whenever a nation refuses a people to glorify God, whenever a person refuses to honor that inner revelation and the outer revelation in their conscience and in their hearts, the word there, gave up, is paradidomi. It means to give up. It means to hand over. In the Bible, in the New Testament, used in many places where they're handed over to a jailer, or they're handed over to punishment, or they're handed over to be condemned, or they're handed over to be crucified, or they're handed over to die. That's that horrible, terrible word, paradidomi. Horrible word in the Greek, that giving up of God. And whenever God gives up, God gives a person, a nation, a people over to something, over to the power of sin, where they become enslaved in sin. Now listen carefully. The giving up of God is not an eternal giving up. It means that God's grace is still available. But whenever God takes his hand off a person, over a nation, a society, this is a judicial act by God. It's not permissive will. It's saying, okay, this is a decision, a court decision in the heavenlies, if you will. And then they're released and abandoned by God to sin to the fullest measure. That is a horrible thought, isn't it? And I want you to notice now, this is very important. Do you notice there in that verse that I just read, where it says there that God gave them up, it did not say the lust, plural, of the flesh. Did you catch? Very important. It says, but in the lust of their what? Their hearts. This now takes a person deeper into sin when it starts coming out of the heart and not necessarily the flesh. And oh, for a person to be a slave of their own heart. You know what Jeremiah 17:9 says about the heart? God says the heart is deceitful. That means it's treacherous. It's treacherous above all things and desperately wicked, which means it's incurably sick. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Listen, they were abandoned, it says there in the Word of God. It says they were abandoned to dishonor. Look at that. Abandoned to dishonor. Watch this. Their bodies. Dishonor their bodies. You know what that word means? It means to disgrace. That word there means a degrading their bodies among themselves. The Bible tells us that, you know, that the body is for the Lord. It's not for sexual immorality. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, verse 23, if you noticed, it takes us from spiritual enslavement, idolatry. Verse 24 now takes us to sensual or sexual enslavement, which is immorality. And they're abandoned to be a slave of whatever is in their own heart. C.S. Lewis put it this way, the lost enjoy forever the terrible freedom they have demanded, and they are therefore self-enslaved. Look at verse 25 now. It says, those who exchange the truth of God for what? For the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, who is our God, who is to be praised forever and ever and all eternity. Now, listen carefully. This is on their part, anyone's part, that's God's to say, go your own way then. This is a willful and deliberate choice that's made. This is the first exchange that we're going to come to, and they exchange the truth of God, in other words, the inner witness and the outer revelation, what they know of God, that they know there is a God, but they trade not for just a lie, not any lie, but a specific lie. And what is that lie? Well, that lie is found, if you study out the Greek, the lie is found in that word rather. That helps us to discover the lie. The word rather in the Greek is para, you know, like paraclete, the one, the Holy Spirit who comes alongside of us. So the word para means alongside. So what did man do? What does man do still today? Well, you know what it means? It means they place side by side the Creator here, the creature here, and they determined in their heart that they preferred the creature over God. That's what the lie is. In other words, the creature, man, is more desirable than the Creator who made them. We're living in that age right now. It says in verse 26, for this reason, in other words, worshiping the creature, not the Creator, here's the second giving up, God gave them up to what? Vile passions, degrading passions, repulsive passions, and look at the result of that. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Now, that means they did it deliberately and willfully. It was their own decision. Now, the words here, where it says women, it shouldn't, in the Greek, it's not women. Like I would say, well, there goes a woman. This word is female, and I'll get to that in a moment, but it's very important to notice that. In other words here, it says that this second exchange is when God gives up, they trade the natural use of a marriage, what happens in marriage, the marriage covenant, and they turn it over and it becomes unnatural. Now look at verse 27. And likewise also the men, and again, in the Greek, it's not men, like, well, there's a man. The word is male. So let me read it that way. So likewise, the males, leaving the natural use of the female, burned in their lust for one another, male with male, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. Now, notice carefully here. Females were given over to vile passions, okay? But the males were given over to a word that is not used but only here in the New Testament, only in this place, meaning a raging, burning, to burn out. It's literally completely consumed like fire with sexual lust, a burning, raging lust. And the Greek, if you studied the Greek, which I do every time I do a sermon, the Greek is literally brutal. I mean, it is so brutal because the word men and women aren't being used. It's male, female, which in connotation is talking about sex with an animal. That's how horrible It is in the Greek language. And look, verse 27 again, and look what happened. Receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. In other words, because they deviated from what was the norm. So their shameful acts led to a penalty. Now, it's not that homosexuality, no different than adultery. Sin is sin. Amen? So this is my text this morning. I'm not trying to be controversial, and neither was Paul when he penned about this. Amen? So this happens to be our text. We have to explain our text. So I'm not elevating this sin above any other sin, okay? Sin is sin in the eyes of God, and God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. Okay, it's very important. So it's not here that we're speaking of, okay, homosexuality is a sin that should be punished. All sin should be punished. What the text is saying about this penalty is that homosexuality is the punishment. That's what God is saying in his word. In other words, oh, how horrible. They become completely confused about their role in life. They become completely confused about their identity, that they're made in the image of God. The female, it says, exchanged. It's interesting that females were listed first, and I wish I knew why. And I look at all of that. But this was willful, deliberate. They exchanged the natural for the unnatural. Now listen, lesbianism or any sin, lesbianism, homosexuality is a, you know, today you hear all kinds of things. But here in our text, God says it is a willful and it is a deliberate personal choice, a deliberate personal decision. It is a learned behavior. It is not, for example, it's not biological. It's not genetic, or it has nothing to do with not having a loving father, or it has nothing to do with having an overbearing mother. It has nothing to do with those things at all. Listen, people are born with sin, a sin nature. Dear Lord, I mean, nobody is, you know, you think that, you know, oh, I was born to be an adulterer. Where are you going to find that? I'm a pedophile because I was born to be a pedophile. What? That's not the word of God. I was born to be a murderer or a rapist. No, that's what's in me. No. I was born to be a Democrat, a Republican. No. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, drunkards, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortion will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such, Paul says to the people of Corinth, and such were some of you, but now you're not that way anymore. You're born again, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God can set anyone free, amen? And he does set people free. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like what? To retain God in their knowledge. That word is gnosko, meaning full and precise knowledge. They knew God. God, here it is again. God gave them over to what? A debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, to do those things which are improper for a man to do, improper for a woman to do, and so forth. But the word did not like in the Greek means to put to the test for the purpose of approving. To put to the test for the purpose of approving. So what is it saying about the human race or a nation or a person? It means that they put God to the test and they refuse to approve him to be worshipped. Now, you're not worthy to be worshipped. We don't want anything to do with you, even though we have you in our knowledge. We don't want anything to do with you at all. So here, the third judicial act by God, the third judicial act of God giving them over to a debased mind, a mind that cannot form right judgments, a mind that cannot form moral judgments. That's what a debased mind is. So we go from moral perversion, if you will, to mental perversion because God says, okay, you don't want me. This is what's going to happen. You think God is worthless. You put me to the test. You didn't want me. Now here's the result. I'm giving you over then, even though you had full and precise knowledge about me. You don't want me. You considered me totally worthless. Now I'm going to give you over then to a mind that is worthless. Is that a frightening scripture? That's horrible. God says your mind is going to be abandoned. You'll be confused on making right or wrong decisions. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of his counsel and despised his every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Now, listen carefully. Beginning in verse 28, all the way through 31, you're going to see these incredible, horrible sins. Now, whenever you find these sins manifesting themselves the way Scripture teaches in a society, in a people, in a nation, that means they have turned their back upon God and they seek complete independence from God. Just like it said about Jesus, we'll not have this man rule over us. We want nothing to do with him. I believe with all of my heart that these verses that are so frightening that we're looking at this morning, I believe we could look out today and look at our own nation and say that we are a nation on the verge of spiritual collapse, that we are committing spiritual suicide in America today, the country that we all love, because America has lost its sense of what is right and what is wrong. Now, I sit here and I don't say that with joy. I say that with a heart that is breaking for the nation that we all love. Look at verse 29 now. God says, okay, it says, being filled with all, that word means wickedness. All wickedness. It means the full measure of wickedness in a society. The word fill there is one of my favorite words. Filled is pleru in the Greek. It means to be saturated. It means to fill to the brim. It means to overflow. It's like when it says in Colossians 2:10 that you are complete in Christ. It means you're overflowing in Christ. He lives in your heart. Amen? But here is the opposite. It means they're overflowing. A people, a nation, a society, overflowing in horrible wickedness. They're given over to it. And in these verses, we have 21 sins that are listed, nouns and adjectives. And listen, 21, that's a trinity of the sevens, if you will. Three sevens are 21. So we have a trinity of sevens here. And when God gives up, do you know what happens on a nation or a people? When God says, okay, you don't want me, you know what happens? They're filled to the limit. They're filled without restraint with what? Here it comes. Sexual immorality, wickedness. That word wickedness, there's the same word that is used for Satan and the heavenly host, his wicked heavenly host in Ephesians 6:12, I believe it is. And it says not only that, covetousness, greed, the itch for more. We know the Bible says in Colossians 3:5 that covetousness is idolatry. The worshiping of something, you desire it more than God. A maliciousness, the desire to hurt people, to injure people, that road rage or whatever. It says full, I love that word in the Greek, it means stuffed. Stuffed with envy. You know, remember that word envy there, Matthew 27:18. Remember Jesus was given over because of the envy of the high priest and the Pharisees. They didn't want anything to do with him. And then it says murder. Dear God. Every day, funeral after funeral after funeral has been on all of the networks of the poor police officers that were ambushed and murdered in the city of Dallas. Or you think about there in Phoenix, the Phoenix sniper that's killing all those people. You think of the racial divide that's now in America again. It's horrible, the things that are occurring. And then when you look over in France at Nice and you see the horrible things that ISIS has done again, it is unbelievable, the murder, the things that are occurring, and it's increasing like never before. Why? Because a full restraint has been released, because when God gives up, that's what happens. Look at this now. Strife, deceit. That word means fish bait, if you will. In other words, where someone baits you to get you in trouble. Evil-mindedness. They are whispers. That means secret slanderers, if you will. Secret gossipers. It says backbiters. That's open gossipers. It says haters of God. Only here in the Bible. Right here. Only in the New Testament. Haters of God. Not only is it something that it's verbal, but it's a true feeling in their heart. They actually hate God.
We are out of time for today, but you can hear the remainder of this message on tomorrow's program. So please join us once again. Thank you for listening to the broadcast, and we pray that you have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.